Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm cold and wet and ready for this.
Cold and wet. It is kind of gross outside.
It's very gross.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not terrible. It's not like snow is high as your head like it is in some places right now.
Well, that's true. You know, no 5 feet of snow, but, you know, it's like 65 degrees out. I'm freezing.
Florida winters. We got it rough. Before we get into this week's episode, I do want to remind you guys that if you like the show, the best way you can support us, the number one way you can support us is by subscribing to us, rating, reviewing us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on wherever you listen to us. Please do so. It keeps our visibility up, gets us new listeners. We really, really appreciate it. We read every single one. This week's episode is Bart Gets Hit by a Car, episode 7F10, written by John Swartzwelder, directed by Mark Kirtland. This may be the most prolific pairing. I'm sure they match up again at some point in the future, but I think this is the most prolific writer with the most prolific director. I'm not positive, but I think so.
It certainly seems like it, and it seems like this combo was like their A combo for several seasons in a row.
Yeah. Originally aired January 10th, 1991. So they took a little break during Christmas. Originally finished 32nd in the ratings, January 7th through 13th. Nielsen rating of 14.5. Viewed approximately 13.5 million homes, which is down from the show's season average, which is 28th. It was the highest rated program on Fox.
Quite the accomplishment.
Yeah, well, routinely it seems to be mostly usually the highest rated program on Fox. Occasionally, Married with Children or Living Color seem to beat it out, but I think more often than not, it was the highest rated. The chalkboard gag this week goes, "I will not sell school property." Frankly, how are you supposed to make any money in school?
Especially when you're a kid. How else are you supposed to get money? Ask your parents. Your parents suck. You should
sell things
that aren't yours.
Bart did make $5 a week for taking out the trash.
That's true. Lucky him. I didn't get an allowance until I was in high school.
Yeah, pretty much. The couch gag this week was Homer bumps everybody off the couch, but they're not too bothered by it, it seems.
Seems like a very common occurrence in the household.
Yeah, Homer's ass groove. Can't mess with that. The episode starts off with Bart skateboarding, being his normal, you know, rambunctious self. I think we see him go through wet concrete and like a dog wraps itself around some old lady who's walking it, trying to chase him and all that. And then he gets hit by Mr. Burns. So the episode title is very appropriate. It happens within about 15 seconds of the start of the episode. They cut right to the chase. It is also one of the very rare episodes that actually has the title on screen. Bart gets hit by a car. We see Mr. Burns not really care that much that he hit a child. He says, tells Smithers to give him a nickel.
Hey, a nickel's a lot of money. You could use that to take the trolley from the fair.
Good. I'll give you an A for effort on that one.
Matt. I couldn't remember the exact wording. My bad.
It's fine. Bart, I guess we're supposed to believe that he briefly dies because his spirit rises out of his body. I'm guessing that's what that means. And, you know, we see him, rise up through the clouds and come to the foot of this like golden escalator, which is apparently, you know, supposed to take him up to the gates of heaven.
Everyone knows heaven has an escalator. You can't be expected to climb stairs after you're dead.
I guess that's fair. But he sees Grandpa, Great-Grandpa Simpson, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Choking some kid, a la Homer. And then we see Snowball with tire marks on her. They're both little Snowball, hovering on clouds. As they go by, we hear Phil Hartman for the first time, as doing like a PA announcement, basically heaven's loudspeakers, you know, telling
how else do you expect them to do announcements in heaven? Come on. That's efficient technology.
Hearing Phil Hartman's voice in heaven seems appropriate.
Oh,
I know. And I didn't even mean it that way, but it's, oh God. This is going to be a Phil Hartman heavy episode. It's his first appearance. Not a day goes by. I do not miss him. His death affected the show greatly. There's some people say that it was after him dying is what made the show. Is they say the jumping the shark moment. I've heard that more than once. Regardless, he's giving kind of what you'd hear on a monorail at Disney World, you know, where, you know, he does it once in Spanish, you know, don't spit over the side, et cetera, et cetera. Bart, being Bart, spits over the side.
Well, of course. I mean, it's way up there. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, we see it drop into the ocean to great effect. The escalator, it basically turns flat, and he slides all the way straight down to hell. And we actually have this clip pulled because it's really delightful. It's the first appearance of the devil in The Simpsons as well.
Oh, he'll be back.
He will be back, and he'll take multiple forms. We see him as, I think in Halloween episodes, he mostly appears as Flanders. But I think he does make an appearance, again, as just a normal, you know, devil-looking devil, what you would imagine. But we have this whole clip. We're going to play for you.
Who the hell are you?
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm the devil! And you've earned eternal damnation for your lifetime of evil deeds, Bart. Spitting off the escalator just clinched it.
Hey, I'm innocent, man.
Innocent. Everybody's innocent. Okay, let's just pull up your file here. Okay. Seems to be a mistake. According to this, you're not due to arrive here until the next time the Yankees win the pennant. That's nearly a century from now. Boys, my face red.
Bart? Bart?
Say, is there anything I can do to avoid coming back here?
Oh, sure, yeah, but, you wouldn't like it.
Oh, okay. See you later, then.
Goodbye, Bart. Remember, lie, cheat, steal, and listen to heavy metal music!
Yes, sir!
So Bart has a conversation with the devil. The devil, makes a little Rolling Stones reference with, please allow me to introduce myself. You know, pulls up, has a computer. He's with it, 1991, having the computers.
And he uses a Mac, so, yeah.
Yeah, and well, that's up for debate, as we will see later. he actually tells Bart, you're not supposed to die yet. You're not supposed to come back here until the Yankees win their next pennant.
Which means Bart is dead now.
Yeah, Bart is dead now, because that was 96 that the Yankee dynasty of the late 90s started. They won their World Series like 4 out of 5 years, I think, I want to say. Yeah, you can always bank on the Yankees coming back in relevance. They have all the money. But they have a really, really funny conversation. Bart wonders, you know, why, you know, what he can do to avoid it. And Devils, don't worry about it. You want to enjoy it. I really love that he calls him sir.
Well, you have to be respectful to the devil, Robbie. I mean, when Bart comes back, he's going to be in charge of his soul. And would you want to be disrespectful to that guy?
I guess not. I just love it that's the one guy that Bart shows respect to. But he comes back. We get a Wizard of Oz moment in the hospital room. You know, you were there and you were there. But there's another person that he doesn't recognize. First appearance, as I mentioned earlier, Phil Hartman as Lionel Hutz.
In his powder blue suit.
Yeah, that powder blue suit. Oh, man. Oh, it feels so good having Lionel Hutz on screen, hearing Phil Hartman's voice. Phil Hartman, I don't think it can be, like, probably the best recurring guest star. He was in tons and tons. I think it was 56 we eventually found out, number of episodes Phil Hartman was in. And we do miss him every day. He's a great comedian. From all I've heard, was a great man and always performed amazingly on The Simpsons.
And pretty much everywhere he was.
Yeah,
he was,
yeah, exactly.
The Simpsons especially.
There's a new biography out about Phil Hartman. I've been meaning to check it out. The author did an AMA the other day. I need to check out on that. Maybe once I check it out, I'll let you guys know how it is. We meet Lionel Hutz for the first time, find him, you know, his shady ambulance chasing the lawyer that he is.
Literally chasing the ambulance. Hey, I saw you chasing Bart's ambulance.
Yes, literally. And it seems like such a kind of a tropey lawyer thing, but the you know, the Simpsons writing plus Phil Hartman doing the voice, it transcends that stereotype almost immediately. Like him handing Homer a card that turns into a sponge. when you get it wet. Oh, man, I love it. And Hutz, of course, wants them to sue. And Marge doesn't want to do that. You know, she's hesitant about all this. The whole episode, she's very kind of the... She is that moral center, her and Lisa. And they do not... They don't feel comfortable around this sleazy lawyer guy. I believe Lisa even calls him a shyster the first time they meet.
How's a little girl like you know a big word like that?
Lionel Hutz leaves. Homer goes to work the next day and is talking about how if he had any spine, he'd go talk to Mr. Burns. And at that moment, he is called into Mr. Burns' office. Burns and his army of attorneys backing him offers Homer $100, which Homer wisely
declines.
Thank you, Matthew. And he walks out, wipes his forehead with the thing, whatever's in his pocket, which happens to be Lionel Hutz's card. It turns into a sponge in his hands, and he sees it. He goes to meet Lionel Hutz in his office. We hear Doris Growl's voice the first time. She later on becomes the voice of Lunch Lady Doris. She is Lionel Hutz's secretary at this point. Doris Growl at the time was a script supervisor for The Simpsons. And I, from what I remember, is that they liked her voice. They thought it was very unique. And she started doing voiceovers for the show. Meets with Lionel Hutz. Hutz gives him a whole bunch of fake credentials. And says he promises him $1 million payout.
Despite the law saying he can't promise him a big cash settlement.
Yeah, despite that, he still promises it. And says he'll take 50%. Which... Considering we'll talk about this later on.
Standard consignment is 30%. So Lionel Hutz is obviously a premium attorney.
Yeah, he must be one of the best. But at this point, we have a commercial break.
And when we come back, there is Dr. Nick Riviera.
Hi, everybody.
Lionel Hutz takes Bart and Homer and Marge to see Dr. Nick Riviera, which is, of course, Hank Azaria doing a really bad Ricky Ricardo imitation. However, apparently the animators thought he was doing a bad Gaber Kasupo. It was the animation supervisor.
He was, famously of Gaber of Kasupo. They did like a whole bunch of Nickelodeon shows at the time.
Classic Kasupo,
and The Simpsons. So
they thought he was imitating him made Dr. Nick look exactly like him. So if you ever wonder what Gaber Kasupo looks like, apparently it's Dr. Nick. Now, Marge, again, being the moral center, does not like this. She thinks, oh, no, this is dishonest. We shouldn't be doing this. But Homer, of course, thinking with dollar signs in his eyes, says we absolutely have to do this. Next, we cut to Burns and Smithers watching Homer at work, and Burns wants to fire Homer. And Smithers says, I don't know if that's a good idea, sir. So closely after the accident, think of the headlines. And Burns' idea of headlines, of course, is, oh, Burns makes a smart money move, variations on this theme. He's like, what about the headlines? So, of course, Smithers corrects him and Burns holds off for now. Then we cut to a practice of the putting Bart on the stand in the Simpsons living room with Lionel Hutz. And we actually have this clip, and we're going to play it for you now.
Now, let's pretend you're on the witness stand. How are you, Bart?
Fine.
Oh, fine. Isn't that nice? Bart says he's fine. Wrong! You're not fine! You're in constant pain!
I am in constant pain.
Dad, may I please make an observation?
Nope. What is it?
I think this is all a charade to make Bart look more injured than he really is.
Well, maybe Lisa does have a point. I don't mind you boys doing this in the living room, but in court, doesn't Bart have to tell the truth?
Yeah, but what is truth, if you follow me? Now, Bart, can you roll your eyes back in your head like this?
Oh, you mean like I'm dead? Yeah, sure.
The kid's a pro.
And so, of course, as you heard in the clip, Bart is being coached to say he's in constant pain despite the fact that, you know, he still played baseball the previous morning. So, obviously, Lionel Hutz is not the most honest person in the world, but he's interested in his big cash settlement. Then we move on to the actual courtroom. And we have, I believe, is this the first appearance of the blue-haired lawyer?
He was in the background of that earlier shot where he had that, Burns had all of his
right,
lawyers.
He didn't speak in that one,
he
right?
did not talk. This okay. is the first time we hear him.
Apparently this is modeled after the lawyer Roy Cohn, who is actually Joseph McCarthy's lawyer. So the voice and the slick-backed hair and all that. And at the very beginning, Mr. Burns wants his lawyer to remind the court of how rich and powerful he is, and that he should be able to run over as many children as he wants. And of course, nobody likes this idea except for Burns. Even the judge is like, I'll find you in contempt. In a clip, something I don't remember, Burns says, you wouldn't dare. And the judge says, no, I guess I wouldn't. So apparently, this is a very corrupt judge.
It is Springfield.
It's Springfield. Everyone's pretty much corrupt.
Yeah.
But we move on to Bart describing his events, and essentially he is a carefree youth going about his day, and before Mr. Burns shows up in his deathmobile to run him over.
And the luxury car of death.
Oh, that's correct. Thank you. And, of course, Lisa and Marge are a little upset by this particular turn of events. And then we go on to Burns' description of events, where Bart jets out in front of him, repeatedly trying to be hit, because that's something that kids do. Totally.
Always.
Now, we actually have this clip, so I'm not going to describe it too much in detail, and we're going to play it for you now.
Now, Bart, I want you to tell the jury, in your own words, exactly what happened on the day of the accident.
Yes, sir. It was a beautiful Sunday afternoon. I was playing in my wholesome childlike way, little realizing that I was about to be struck down by the luxury car of death.
Defenseless child at 3 o'clock.
Luckily, I was not killed that day, although sometimes I wish I had been.
No, he's lying!
Now that's believable testimony.
Now, Mr. Burns, would you please relate in your own words exactly what really happened on the day of the accident?
Certainly. Oh, it was a beautiful day. The sun was shining. I was driving to the orphanage to pass out toys. Suddenly, that incorrigible Simpson boy darted in front of me. No! Yes! Oh, please don't let me hit him! Oh, my goodness! Look what happened!
Oh, it's not important, sir. Let's drive on.
Why, you despicable, cold-blooded monster! Regardless of what you think, we must summon help and comfort the dear boy until an ambulance arrives. No! Take me! I'm old!
And that's what happened. What are you looking at me like that for? You believed his cock and bull story.
All right. And the best part about that clip is the very end, where there's dead silence after Burns' description. And he goes, what? You accepted his cock and bull story?
Yeah. The whole bit is so... The way it looks on Bart's description, like, it's all, like, he's all sunny and happy, and then it's, like, a nightmare of, like... it's like Grimm's Fairy Tales, where, like, a... awful monster comes and attacks him. And then in Burns' story, he's driving a VW bug. Like, he's... I don't know if I saw this or not. Like, I wanted to say there was a Grateful Dead sticker on the car or something like that.
If it's a VW bug, it might as well have had it.
Yeah.
On him, really.
Yeah. And his... I do like Burns. No! Like, he's... Why? What was he? I'm old. Take me?
That's what he asked. It's a very... And they actually repeat that later in one of the McBain clips, which I thought was really great. But after they both describe the scenario, Burns has a conference with his lawyers, and apparently they're in some kind of room next door that Burns thinks is soundproof, but is obviously not. So, of course, everyone in the court hears him screaming at his lawyers, they hate me! What courtroom were you listening in?
My favorite bit was... let's get him settled about a settlement about Homer being a big gorilla. We'll give him a few bananas and maybe that will solve everything.
And of course, since this room is not soundproof, Marge and Homer have heard everything and they look at each other with a very askance looks. So we then actually cut to Homer and Marge at Burns' house. He obviously doesn't know that they overheard him, but Burns is essentially plying Homer with alcohol at every opportunity. And he's even open about it. It's like, Mr. Burns, you trying to get me drunk? And Mr. Burns replies, yes, now drink up.
I laughed out. I literally, made me laugh out loud at that point.
And eventually, once Homer is good and drunk, Mr. Burns makes his offer of $500,000 in the, what kind of script would you call that, Robbie? Like Germanic, classic Latin type script?
I guess so. I really enjoyed how pained it made him to write out, just to write out the number.
Well, that was some pretty fancy handwriting there, so, you know. But Homer and Marge are given time by Mr. Burns to think it over. And, of course, Burns and Smithers, this is before closed-circuit cameras and the homes were pretty were a thing, they go and watch through a nearby painting with Burns as himself and Smithers as the dog, of course.
Which we see later in that, it was just called Rosebud. That's okay. What I thought. I was like, yeah. We saw that later in Rosebud, where Burns has the normal, like, robot body, and then Smithers is, like, a robot dog.
The normal robot body? Oh, of course.
Well, like, he's, like, a humanoid shape, and for some reason, Smithers is, like, a dog. A dog robot.
But, of course, they're watching, and Homer does not want to take the $500,000, because he obviously realizes that Burns knows he's going to lose. But Marge thinks they should take it because, and honestly, all she wants is Bart's medical bills paid and an apology. And Homer, of course, says no, and actually, in an attempt to spit on the check, spits on the painting that Burns and Smithers are behind.
I thought he spit on a chair.
Oh, no, you're right, sorry. But he spits on a nearby chair and attempts to wipe it off, futilely. And, of course, Marge makes the point that she hates what's going on. She hates the lawyers and the phony doctors and all of the lying. And, of course, at that exact moment, Burns and Smithers go, phony doctors, hello. They walk out, tear up the check, and tell them to leave, and then actually release the hounds on them.
Yes, they run from the hounds, which I had forgotten that it went that far.
Well, that's Mr. Burns. When he wants you to leave, he just releases the hounds. He doesn't say goodbye or anything, just hounds. That's how you know it's time to go.
Hounds.
Right before the commercial, they put Marge on the stand, and it's a huge surprise to everyone because everyone knows Marge is going to tell the truth, and everyone is super nervous.
And we come back. Marge is on the stand, blue-haired lawyer interrogating her, and basically just asks about why we heard Dr. Nick Riviera instead of Dr. Hibbert on the stand, what was it, the previous day or earlier in the trial. Being Marge and having sworn in, you know, not to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, she has to tell what she actually thinks about Dr. Nick, that he may not actually be a doctor.
And his office was dirty. How dare he?
His office. Honestly, that is a good sign of a bad doctor.
That's true.
If you go to a doctor's office and it's dirty, it's not good. She quickly reveals all the kind of shady dealings between Dr. Nick and Lionel Hutz and Bart's perceived, you know, mental anguish, and that, you know, the discrepancy for paying $5 for him to take out the trash, and they pretty much their case falls apart just because she tells the truth. And Homer and Dr. Nick and Lionel Hutz, they're all besides themselves. They're completely upset because they had basically had it won. And now it's pretty much over. Burns makes a new offer of zero, which I think Lionel says something about on the long lines, we should take it.
Which, honestly, even in that instance, they really should have gotten him to pay the medical bills.
I know, really. I mean, well, that's Mr. Burns. I think he can get away with zero, so that's how much he paid.
He had them defeated. He crushed their souls.
And at this point, this is the part of the episode which I'd forgotten a lot of. I did not remember this particular moment, the last 4 minutes, maybe, of Homer, the family at the dinner table, and Homer, like, we get to hear all of inner monologue of Homer, of him being really despondent and upset, not knowing how to feel about Marge, you know, telling the truth and costing them all the money, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Marge is offering him food, and he's like, no, thank you. And at the same time, we're hearing his inner thoughts about, I don't know what to do. I feel terrible, blah, blah, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
And actually saying some really mean things about Marge in the process.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty cruel. He goes to Moe's, and Moe's trying to console him, which it doesn't work. And we're continually to hear Homer's inner dialogue at this point, and as well as Marge a little bit. Marge realizes that something's wrong with Homer, goes to the bar, is accosted by all the barflies, and Moe and Barney. You know, they don't realize it's Homer's. I guess they'd never seen Marge before up to this point. Which later on we see Moe, like, becomes almost obsessed with Marge.
And this is where it all started.
Yeah, this is the first time they've seen each other. But Marge comes up to Homer, asks him what's wrong. And he's like, this is, like, a very extreme thing. Like, I don't know if I can love you anymore. Which, what?
It's one of those things where, if money is really that big of a thing, that's kind of scary.
And Marge is like, well, if you don't look me in the eye and tell me that. And Homer, we get a point of view from Homer where he's looking up, starting at her feet, takes a break about halfway up to get a beer, then continues up and immediately rescinds everything he says he loves her. They love each other. They embrace. Moe offers 1/3 off pitchers for the next hour or something like that.
But no sharing.
No sharing. domestic brands only. And et cetera, et cetera. And that's how the episode ends, with everyone cheering at the bar. And frankly, it's the weakest part of the show by far.
Yeah, I feel like they really didn't need this kind of thing at the very end. It just seems very tacked on, which it was.
Yes, that's even if you do a little research into the episode, basically James L. Brooks came up with this, like, oh, we need something a little bit more, I don't know, family oriented to end the show with. But this whole episode is this kind of fun romp with Lionel Hutz and Dr. Nick. You get the first appearance of Phil Hartman. You get, you know, Burns being wacky. You get these crazy dream sequences with Bart in hell, and the both Bart and Burns describing their take on the events of Bart getting hit by the car. And it's really fun and funny. It's a lot of, but then it gets like all maudlin at the end, and you know, Homer and Marge crying and embracing him. Like, it just seems a little overblown. They could have just gone kind of a wacky ending, and I think it would have matched the rest of the episode, which I don't, maybe at this point in the show, they're just not ready to do that necessarily.
It's like whenever James L. Brooks gets involved, he wants the show to have some sort of,
cathartic ending, which
essentially,
but it's not, it just seems out of, it's not tonally consistent with the first 18 to 19 minutes of the show, when you get the last three or four, this weird, like, relationship. Cause, I mean, most of the show is not based around Marge and Lisa's, you know, reticence to do this. They're just kind of the voices of reason.
And you don't really see Homer ever hold a grudge like this. I mean, except for his, like, hatred of Flanders. Especially with Marge, he seems to get over whatever happens with Marge very quickly. That just seems to be his personality. This seems to be really out of character for him.
Yeah, and Marge, when she says, "I'd like you to forgive me for doing the right thing," which I that's completely correct. It just like a similar episode where they lose a lot of money. It's with the old man and Lisa, where Lisa turns down all that money from Burns.
So we really could have used that $10,000.
There wasn't $10,000. And then we hear Homer have like a heart attack or
something?
Second heart attack. Yeah. Which that's more of like the feeling of how they could have, it's just a kind of a wacky, I think it's just at this point in the show, they weren't ready to do that yet. They wanted to bring it back to the status quo without being overtly just silly.
Well, and I feel like the episode did need something of an ending. It needed something to go out on, but I just feel like that was the complete wrong direction to take it in.
Yeah, it felt out of place in what is otherwise a very, very good episode.
Yes, yeah, extremely. Honestly, it actually would have been really funny if Homer accidentally hit Burns when they were coming out of the courtyard. I'm just saying, that would have been a much more appropriate ending.
If only you were a Simpsons writer in 1991.
If only I wasn't 8 years old.
That's all it would have been. But we will rank this episode at the end of the show, as we are wont to do. And next up, we have comments from the newsgroup. Yes, I regularly comb the old alt.tv.simpsons newsgroup that started shortly after the show started. Kind of bring it up during the show. This week, I got a couple things that are interesting. There was a serious debate about whether the devil used a PC or a Mac.
Which, seriously, anyone who knows computers knows that's a Mac he was using. Come on.
Yeah, now. I think the telltale thing was the one button on the mouse. You can see that there's one button. And there's even a little bit of debate about, like, what software he was using, which, it's 1991 internet. They're all kind of big nerds, so, obviously. The other thing, someone had posted a news item about a lot of animated series that were being developed after the success of The Simpsons. The three big ones, Family Dog, Capital Critters, and Fish Police.
Seriously,
what Family Dog? Steven Spielberg was producing that. These are very successful people who are producing all these shows.
Steven Spielberg things never last on television, people. Let's just let it go.
All canceled within their first season. None of them made it to even a second season. So that will settle that. On to our listener question of the week. Listener question of this week. What was your favorite Itchy and Scratchy cartoon? Simple. We got lots of responses. Really excited. You guys do a great job. Keep it up. Love it. First of all, Twitter, we have Kevin at Daddy Poirier. Favorite Itchy and Scratchy has to be Scratchy Gets Itchy. So unbelievable, it'll never be replayed.
Mom, start digging some nerd holes.
Yeah, I know. Plug it back in.
The rock tumbler or the TV? The TV!
We have John at ChoppaStyle311. I know it is not skinless in Seattle. Seeing it, I thought, I know that that's funny, but I'm just not laughing. # sold my soul. A lot of clever answers this time. David at DP Guarnero. One where he ties his tongue to the moon. The effort involved does it for me. What is that one called? I think someone else. Flay me to the moon. We have someone else answering the same question, same answer. We have Josh at JoshMims2, Planet of the Aches. I love how the itchies brain pulse and make that telekinetic sound when they chop Scratchy to bits. Ted at Soup of Tomorrow. Gotta be Poochie. When are they going to get, the Beagle's landed. When are they going to get to the fireworks factory? Sean at SeanieMac15. Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie. It's the only quotable Itchy and Scratchy. I have to go now. My planet needs me. Poochie's dead. Yay.
And I have a certified affidavit from the producer saying he will never return.
Me from SC, at Me from SC, burning down the mouse. To this day, I want to see Itchy die. The unplugged TV will never show that again. So that was the actual title of that, burning down the mouse. Eric, at the real Eric D, favorite Itchy and Scratchy has to be the one Bart and Lisa wrote. The randomness of it makes me laugh every time. Jordan, at jscott1028. Reservoir Cats, an homage to Tarantino and the awesome dance scene with Itchy and Scratchy. And Danny, at WooshDannyH. Flay me to the moon. Scratchy's tongue gets tied to the moon, which returns and crushes him. Which that is a good one, a memorable one. We have Chris. This is all back over to Facebook. Chris at Chris S. Cat's Blat Fever from Radio Bart. Scratchy thinks Itchy wants to take his own life by jumping in a well. He jumps in, but Scratchy's eaten by an alligator. And then Itchy shoots his ghost. The episode is dedicated to Timmy O'Toole. Daniel, the Sabio's commercial, adding human children to the proceedings make Itchy and Scratchy stick even more disturbing than usual. Brian, they're all good, but I'll guess I'll go with Bleeder of the Pack. Love the revelation that Scratchy's on the ill-fated plane ride with Buddy Holly, Richie Valens. And finally, we have Theo. I have to say the Beagle has landed, which is the introduction of Poochie. I love the criticism of characters created through market testing and blatant appeals to quote-unquote youth culture. As a 90s kid, Poochie was pretty much an amalgamation of everything I thought was cool at the time, so to see it lampooned is really hilarious. Also, he's the original dog from hell. You mean Cerberus? So, yeah. Lots of great... There's many, many, many of them. You go to the... We Yes, Theo also was kind enough to provide a list of the episodes to the wiki on our Facebook. There's a lot of them there. Matt, what's your favorite?
I would have to go to Little Barbershop of Horrors, which is the Bart and Lisa Penda episode. Just, it is incredibly random and probably the worst thing that could happen to you if you ever get a haircut. Turns out getting your haircut by ants, not the best idea.
Probably not.
What about you, Robbie?
Beagles landed.
Oh, of course.
Poochie. Gotta go with Poochie.
My name's Poochie D and I can't.
No, yeah, don't. No, it's okay. We don't have to. We don't have to do that. The whole thing is great. I love the 90s. He's so that era. The extreme. Yeah. Next week's question. Best episode with an appearance by Phil Hartman.
Easy money.
Easy. Wow.
I know that's one off the top of my head. Like straight off.
All right. This is going to be tough for me. I got to think about it. But yeah. First appearance of Phil Hartman. I had it. I think this is a good one. I'm excited to see what you guys say. There's a lot of them. This could be any of his characters, any of his voice appearances. I foresee a lot of Lyle Landley, Monorail, March vs. the Monorail, but who knows? I will post this question on all our social media. We're on Twitter at Simpsons Show Pod. Follow us there. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Like us there. And you can email us, SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. You have long answers, won't be contained in any of those places. Email is the place to go. Also, if you have any essays or term papers you wrote for college about The Simpsons, we've gotten two so far. I am ready for more. I love it.
Please, they don't have to be for college.
They don't.
You could just write it as your, you know, manifesto when you're out in your shack in the middle of the woods writing about The Simpsons. Send that to us too.
Yeah, absolutely. Any Simpsons manifestos, I'd love to hear those as well. So, I think it's time, the segment we end every episode with, and that segment is Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is a segment where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of the best Simpsons episodes. Where does this one go, Matt? I'm going to say it's number two.
Number two? Whoa, I was going to put it at number four, and I thought that was going really high.
Really?
Well, because you've got Phil Hartman, who just elevates it to an amazing level, and I can definitely see that. But that ending is such a crappy downer that it really pulls it down.
I know. It would have been number one if it ended differently. But I think it's still, even with that crappy ending, I think it's still better than Dead Putting Society. I mean, Phil Hartman, first appearance of Dr. Nick, amazing Burns stuff in this. I love it when you don't hear Burns like actually yell. When you hear Harry Shearer do that yelling at the lawyer bit, you actually hear him hit that like lower Burns register. You don't hear that very often. It always makes me laugh so hard.
Oh, dang it, Robbie, you're convincing me.
I mean, we've already discussed it. The last part is really, it is a downer in what is really a fun, really great episode. But that's why it's not number one. I think Bart Gets an F stays number one because of the fact that it, from front to back, from beginning to end, it stays totally consistent. It's hilarious. It's emotional. It has tons of, like, amazing animation and stuff like that. The ending is the thing that I'd say puts us at number two. You want, we could compromise and go to three. You say four, I say two. We could do it, go to three. If I can't convince you.
Well, I do believe my love of mini golf might be coloring my opinion of Dead Putting Society. So I think I would be comfortable putting that aside to put it at number two.
Okay. Okay. I think we can agree that if the ending was different, this episode is a rival to Bart Gets It.
Absolutely. But, if it wasn't for that ending, this would be an easy number one.
But the ending is really, it's just, it feels very out of place.
I came up with an improvement. When they come out of the courtroom, he hits Smithers and Burns is like, yeah, whatever, drops a nickel on Smithers and walks away. That would have been the perfect ending.
That might be what I don't know. That might be a little too rough for me.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm not gonna try and pretend that I know what's the best ending is. I know that this one is not so great. But otherwise, Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman.
God, Phil Hartman
as God.
Not yet. No, but no God. In his few appearances, Phil Hartman does not voice God.
Well, in this one, they say he voices God as the voice.
That's not God. That's the PA. That's not God.
Well, okay, sorry. On the Wikipedia site, they claim that's God. I don't believe it either, but you know, I didn't know if there was a script somewhere that said that that's who that was.
Maybe. That's debatable. But regardless, we have a new number two. Bart gets hit by a car. We have in the top four, we have three episodes that have Bart as the first word. Tells you where the Simpsons were in the first couple seasons. Let's see. Of the 23 episodes we've done, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. Over a quarter of them have Bart as the first word. I think that's interesting.
It means their titling at first wasn't exactly the most creative. It gets much better later.
Yeah, they go completely over the top. I think they go a little too far, actually, as we go later on. But regardless, you can find this list, best episode ever, on our website, which is simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find every new episode there, downloadable, streaming. You can find links to all our social media, to our RSS feed. You can contact us there. You can also donate to the show. We are doing this simply as a labor of love. So if you'd like to contribute, we'd love that. But yeah, check us out there. If you want to follow me on the Twitter, I'm at Mixmaster Cereal. That's MIXMASTERCEREAL. You can also check out my comics podcast. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com. Matt does not participate in social media, so you can't find him. Don't try.
That's true, but I am occasionally up high, so if you want to burn your message into a field somewhere in Central Florida, I will eventually see it.
These alternative means, you're going to eventually run out of them, Matt.
Eventually, but not anytime soon.
With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.